Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue in our series of studies, Seven Reasons Why Christ Died. And the reason today, I think, is perhaps the foremost reason of all, to fulfill the will of his Father. We read that in John chapter 4. We'll read it in moments. If we were to raise the question on the broadcast, who benefited most by the death of Christ on the cross? I think I can hear a chorus of voices. I did. I did. I did. He saved me. He saved my soul from a lost eternity. Some husbands might say, he saved my dear wife. Some wives might be able to say, my husband received the greatest benefit. He got saved. But really, the one who received the greatest benefit from the death of Christ was his heavenly Father. And we're going to talk about he came to die to fulfill the will of his Father. We read in John chapter 4 and verse 34, when the disciples came back from that city with meat, and they found him talking to that woman of Samaria, and they wondered why he talked with her. The Lord Jesus Christ said on that occasion, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, you know, it's very interesting to know the first words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read them. His first words are recorded in Luke chapter 2. And when he was at the age of 12, he went up with his parents to Jerusalem at the feast of the Passover, and he stayed behind in Jerusalem. He did not follow his parents back to their home. Now, we read there in beginning at verse 36, perhaps, in Matthew chapter 26, or rather Luke chapter 2. No, we'll not read there. Let's read in verse, verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, now they'd been searching for him. It came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. When they saw him, that is, the mother and father who were searching for Jesus, he had gotten away from them. They were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Now listen, please. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Capital F, if you please. Not Joseph's business. I must be about my father's business. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. That was Christ's consuming passion to do his father's will and to do his father's business even at the age of 12 years. And then as we read in John chapter 4, verse 34, in connection with the salvation of a very needy woman, the woman of Samaria, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And to finish his work led him to Calvary. We will see that. And his work was not finished until he did get to Calvary. And those words indeed echo down through the scriptures in prophecy, in type, in shadows, that Christ came to save sinners. And we read here, continuing in John's Gospel, I think John's Gospel is so rich in its abundance of references to the Lord submitting his will to his Father. For instance, chapter 5 and verse 30. The Lord says on that occasion, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And then in chapter 6, verse 38, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Chapter 8 and verse 29, he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only person that could have ever made that statement. I do always those things that please him. Now, he came to fulfill the will of his Father, but it was not fulfilled until he went to the cross, and we shall see it in a few moments. Now, this was the passion of his life, to do his Father's will and to be a blessing of others. But wait until we get to that Garden of Gethsemane that's recorded in all of the Synoptic Gospels, not the Gospel of John, but in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew chapter 26. If you have your Bibles near at hand, you may be interested in reading with us in that chapter. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ knowing full well what was ahead of him. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem because he knew he was going to die there. And he comes to the Garden of Gethsemane that Passover Eve. The evening of that Passover, he comes to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples, and where, incidentally, he was apprehended. We read in verse 36 of Matthew 26, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith to his disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And then he comes to his disciples and finds them asleep. And he says to Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? I'm reading in verse 40. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again the second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He knew what was in that cup. Death was in that cup. He tasted death for every man. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words, submitting to his Father's will. And then, of course, he came and found the disciples asleep. They had not supported him with their presence. Here he is. We just feel like taking our spiritual shoes from off our feet, like Moses was commanded to do at the burning bush in the Garden of Gethsemane. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as Dr. Luke tells us in his Gospel, sweat great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He was in an agony. And it's Luke that tells us this. It's the beloved physician. He was in an agony. Great drops of blood falling down to the ground. His blood pressure was so high that it even ruptured the blood vessels near the surface of the skin, and his blood mingled with his sweat when he thought of the ordeal of Calvary and receiving the stroke of judgment that was due to a guilty world. And there he is agonizing. God sent an angel there to comfort him. One lonely angel was sent to comfort Christ. Why? His disciples were asleep. Now, on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ speaks about that work as he hung right there on the cross. All the Gospels record that tragic event when they nailed him to that tree. And we read there in John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, you know, the crucifixion created a terrible thirst. The tongue cleaved to the jaws. It was a terrible thirst. And Jesus says, I thirst. When Jesus said, he says, I thirst, and they gave him the vinegar. Jesus, therefore, when he had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. Tetelestai. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Remember his first words? "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And he says that in John's, "I must be about my Father's business, saving sinners, dying on the cross to receive their stroke of judgment, dying that they might live eternally." Here he is. He is just about to pass away, just about to give up his spirit. He didn't die in the sense that death overtook him. He voluntarily surrendered his spirit, and he said, "It is finished. The work that saves is done. My sins are paid for, and so are yours. Isn't that good news? I can go to heaven now. That barrier of sins that would have kept me out of heaven has been removed by the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for you and for me. Oh, what would it have been to stood at the foot of that cross and see that agony?" Now, we're going to talk about the fact that his reward from his Father for doing his will, for drinking that awful cup, is exaltation. Philippians chapter 2. We read there, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that tongue, every tongue, should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father." Here's his exaltation, "the name which is above every name." Wherefore, because he died, wherefore, or therefore, because of this, God also highly exalted him. Now God is repaying him with a diadem of glory, with a name that is above every name. And he is adored now. He is given the highest place. He took the lowest place on the cross. The lowest place, the sinner's place, the cross of Barabbas, the thief, the murderer. Here he is now. He is exalted to the highest place. God does it. He served his Father. His Father received the greatest glory. His Father received the greatest benefit. His submission. His will. The will of his own dear Son who loved me and gave himself for me. Our Father, today we thank you for that unspeakable gift, that unutterable gift, the Lord Jesus, that you gave him to die in our place so that we could be your sons and daughters when we trust in him. Receive our thanks for him in his own fearless name. Amen.